Today's readings from Psalm 111. You can follow it in the church Bibles on page 431. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all those who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people his power of the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just, and his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise.
And it's lovely to see you all. As you can see, we're thinking this morning about Joshua chapter 6 and the walls of Jericho. And there are some fantastic Jericho walls right in front of me here. They look very foreboding, very strong. And well done, kids, well done, guys, for building such good Jericho walls here. Before we have a look at this famous part of the Bible, and why don't we pray and ask God's help as we think about what he's saying to us this morning. So let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that when we read it, we hear you speak to us. And we pray now that as we read it and think about it, that, Lord, you would give us the strength and the concentration, Lord, the willingness to hear and believe. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Joshua chapter 6 then. Let's just get a little bit of context about where we are kind of in the Bible storyline. Remember, God has made the world. We'll just have a look at the little PowerPoint behind me. God has made the world. We should all know and love God, but all of us have turned away from him. The Bible calls that sin. But God loves us so much, he wants to sort things out. And so he promises a guy called Abraham that he'll do just that. He says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to give you a land. And through your family line, Abraham, I am going to send a special person who will be a blessing to the whole world, to the whole all the nations. Of course, we know that person to be Jesus. So Abraham believes God's word. And God turns Abraham's family into a massive nation, the nation of Israel. They get saved from Egypt and head for the promised land. And on the way to the promised land, they're given God's law. God says, I've rescued you. I've redeemed you. Now, this is the way that you live for me. This is the word that you are to obey. Now, one generation, one group of mums and dads don't believe God. They don't believe him. And so for 40 years, the Israelites end up wandering around in the desert. But eventually, after 40 years, they make their way to the edge of the promised land. And in front of them stands the first big city, the city of Jericho. And we're going to learn three really important principles as we watch the Israelites gathered round Jericho. I think it would probably be a really, really good idea if we did that now. So kids, if you make your way into the middle here, let's gather round Jericho. Sit yourselves there and on the, not on the stage, down there, sweet. Sit yourselves there. Let's gather round Jericho. Sit yourselves down. And here we are, the Israelites on the edge of Jericho. Right, this is a really, really big city, a really large city. And we're going to see three things. We're going to learn about God's word, our worship, and God's work. God's word, our worship, and God's work. Okay, here we go. Now listen. This is how Joshua describes the scene at Jericho. All right? Joshua chapter 6. It'll appear behind me. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. Chapter 6, verse 1. No one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. We just skip a slide on there, John. Brilliant. I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priest blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. This is the amazing word of God. God says to Joshua, the way that you are going to bring the walls of Jericho down is by marching around it with the Ark of the Covenant and by playing some trumpets. How mad is that? What are trumpets going to accomplish on city walls? I mean, it's as mad as if the organizers of the World Cup started banning vuvuzelas, a really good idea in my mind if you ask me, and started banning them in the football stadiums in case, the worry was, in case the football stadium fell down. God's word sounds so amazing, doesn't it? So incredible. And do you know what, guys? That is one of the fundamental points that we want to learn from this passage. God's word is amazing. It is incredible, and it is to be trusted in. God wants us to trust in his word. In all the different circumstances of our lives, maybe there are challenging and difficult circumstances. You might be sitting there thinking now of something in school or a relationship that's a little bit hard or something in work, something in your life that is just really problematic. God wants you to trust in his word to you. His word that says, I am perfect and good and just and holy and true. I am in complete control of every part of your life. And I want you to see that. I want you to acknowledge that. Even when it seems just so difficult. Even when this seems to be, what's the way forward, Lord? I don't understand what's happening right now in my life. God is saying, trust in my word. Depend on me. And of course, we most amazingly see that word to us, God's word, in his son, the Lord Jesus. God did promise to send someone who would save his people. And eventually, someone called Jesus, God's son, stepped into history and declared to our watching world, I must die that you may live. What an amazing word that is. The God of all creation says to us, I must die that you may live. And the question this morning is this, are you trusting in that word? So there's the word of God. Now let's think of the second thing. God's word, right, here's the next thing, guys, our worship. Okay, so listen now to verse 6. So, Joshua, son of Nun, called all the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it, and he ordered the people, advance, march around the city, and the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to the camp and spent the night there. That is amazing, isn't it? The people, the Israelites, listen to God's word. They put it into practice. They go with trumpets playing and carrying the Ark. And they circle the mighty city of Jericho. So off we go. Now, we've got to do this quick, all right? Because time, I'm looking at the clock. I need 7 priests. Not actual priests, you know, because that'll get us in. So 7 people. If you guys here come up, all right? Now, we only need 7. Watch the walls of Jericho there. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let's stop. You guys can have it. Right. All right, one of these. Trumpets each. All right? Now, guys, we need a little bit of a quick practice rehearsal, okay? So here we go. Take a deep breath and give it a blow. Very good. Now I'm tempted to cry. Come on, England! But let's put that aside. Right there, we've got our seven priests. Really important. They are sounding the trumpet of the Lord. Now I need some armed guards. Now for health and safety, these aren't actual swords. All right. So there we are. Let's have six guys. This is going to end up being all of us, really, isn't it? All right. Well done. Right, six guys, come up quickly. Come up quickly. Join the seven priests. All right. And then, you, sweetheart, grab that, and you grab that, and this is not, okay, the real Ark of the Covenant, all right? It's a Marks and Spencer's food box painted Magolia. I couldn't even get gold, all right? There's the Ark of the Covenant. So, right, here's the amazing thing. These group of Israelites so trusted God's word that off they set around the walls of Jericho. Right, trumpeters, start playing. Off we go. Right, quickly. Right, quickly. All right. That sounds like a bunch of cows, doesn't it? All right. Okay. Off we go. Off we go. Right. Very good. Very good. Good. That is brilliant. Brilliant playing. Right. Right. Guys, once you've made it, you stop there. You stop there. Right, you guys finish off round the walls of Jericho. Keep going. Keep going. Brilliant. Please keep going. Please keep going. All right. All right. Trumpet is stop. Brilliant. And around the walls of Jericho. Once you've got round to the front, sit back down again. And the guys keep going. Keep walking around. Good handling of the Ark of the Covenant there. Absolutely brilliant. Done in real reverence and awe. Well done. And down we go. And sword folk, please don't play with the walls of Jericho. And down we go. Well done. And around they went. Now, as we sit down, well done, guys. You did very well there. Let me ask you a question. How do you think the Israelites felt as they walked around the city of Jericho and played their trumpets?
Happy.
They felt happy. I think they may well have. Those trumpets, those vuvuzelas would definitely have helped.
Brave.
Brave. I think they would have felt brave. That's a good answer. They'd have felt happy, brave. I think stupid is a good answer. They would have felt happy. I think they would have, I mean, they were God's people. They would have felt brave. I mean, I'd have felt brave blowing a trumpet going around a city like that. But they would have felt stupid. Do you know what? The walls of Jericho, archaeologists tell us, were about a meter and a half thick. That's how thick those walls. They were mighty walls. And the guys go round every day faithfully playing their trumpets. You see, that is what obedience to God, that is what worship of God is all about. It's the whole of our lives lived trusting God. Even when it seems pointless. Even when it seems, frankly, look, this is a stupid situation. What is happening to me here, Lord? Worship of God, trusting in His word, is the life of obedience. Where we live lives that are lives of sacrificial worship. We trust in God, in what He's doing in our lives right now. And so do you know what, guys? Listen, if we'd had time, which we haven't, we were going to do that together six more times. Six more times. Every day they woke up, and do you know what they thought when they woke up? It's time to go round the walls of Jericho again. That's what they thought. It's time to go round the walls of Jericho again. So do you know what, guys? You know, it's like in the playground. You know when perhaps a group of folk are being, you know, nasty to someone? As we think in our heart, yeah, no, hang on, I follow Jesus. I trust in Him. I want to serve Him. I want to follow Him with my heart. Yeah, we don't join in the nastiness. I mean, it's a little bit the same just when we're a bit older, isn't it? And we hear that gossiping going on. And someone is gossiping about another individual. And we think, no, I'm not going to get involved with that, with what's going on there. Because I follow Jesus, because He is my supreme pleasure, my delight, I'm going to trust in Him. I'm going to obey His word. We live lives of worship, even when it's tough, even when it's difficult. And do you know what? The most amazing part of the Bible where we see the weakness and almost the stupidity of what is going on, most magnificently displayed, is there at the cross of the Lord Jesus. As God Himself stepped into time and became one of us, and as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords hung on a cross. How foolish. How stupid do you think that looked to a watching world? Here was the Son of God who is nailed to a cross of wood. How can he reign there? How can Jesus be in charge there? But here's the thing. God was at work. In what looked like great weakness, the wisdom and strength and power of God was being revealed. Judgment for sin removed. Forgiveness found through Jesus' death. And so as we follow the risen Jesus, it may sometimes look weak. It may look stupid. It may look very, very stupid. But while we look weak and pathetic, actually in our lives of worship, as we follow Jesus and trust in his word, the glory of God is being displayed. Right there. In the middle of that hardest time, often in the most hardest times of our lives, the hardest experiences, the manifold wisdom of God is being shown. God uses us in our weakness, the New Testament says, that the all-surpassing power may be seen to be from God and not from us. So, the Israelites, just like you guys did, they walked around the city and they did that for six more days. And then on the seventh day, they did it seven times. Now we're going to cut to the chase, all right? We are going to just do it once more. Let's just do it once more. Everyone up on their feet. Now, before we get going, we just need now for everyone else to have a bit of a dress rehearsal, because on the seventh time, on that seventh day, the Israelites were to shout together, okay? And the Bible doesn't tell us what they shouted, so I decided to have a go at what they might have said. We're going to have a go at saying, "The Lord has given us the city." All right? Now we need everyone's help on this. We need to be nice and loud. All right? After three, one, two, three. The Lord has given us the city. Brilliant. All right, guys, off we go. You guys start playing trumpets. Right, off we go. Brilliant. Well, that's got a lot better. Right, quickly. Right, off we go. Right. Brilliant. Right, guys. Once you've got back there, sit down. Trumpet players, well done. Keep going. Now, this is going to be a bit of an anticlimax if we're not careful, right? Down comes the Ark of the Covenant. Brilliant. So they made it round seven times. And on the seventh time, just like we've practiced there, remember these massive walls of Jericho, they got to the end. And then after three, one, two, three, they shouted, "The Lord has given us the city." And do you know what? The walls of Jericho came crashing down. Listen to how verse 20 describes it. "When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys." Did you see what happened? The walls of Jericho came crashing down. God's word, our worship, God's work. God is at work in every aspect of your life. In every aspect of our lives, God is at work. Even when it looks weak, even when it looks like a silly thing to do, a stupid thing to do, God is at work, and he is always victorious. He is always the winner. So if you think about it, you know, it might be difficult in school following Jesus. You might get some stick for going to Christian Union or Luncheon Club. You might get some stick for being known in work as a Christian, perhaps with that family member. But God is at work. The Bible puts it like this: "You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for doing good works." God is using you in those circumstances, in every circumstance of your life, to make his fame and his glory known. And we pray, do you know what we pray every day? That as people watch our lives, as they see us live for Jesus Christ, they might see what we do, they might listen to what we say, and that they too, our friends, our family members, our neighbors, might come to trust in Jesus for themselves. But do you know what? One day, there will be a final trumpet and a final shout. This time the shout will come from the commander, the archangel. And on that day, Jesus will come again in all his glorious power. and the whole world will see that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And each one of God's people who has trusted in him will be seen to be right, will be seen to be true, will be seen to be victorious. And that is what the Israelites got a little glimpse of. As they trusted in God's word and worshipped God with their whole lives, following him, even when it looked weak, even when it looked stupid, they saw God mightily, powerfully at work in all that happened to them. And that points us wonderfully to that final day when God has promised that he will be vindicated. So guys, well done for listening so well. Well done for walking around the stage. Remember that word to us today from Joshua 6, where we see God's word, our worship that obeys God, and how God works powerfully as we live and serve the risen Jesus Christ. Now, Tamar's going to have a quick chat with a trailblazer leader.
Brilliant. Well, I'm going to ask John to come and join me amongst the rubble. Fantastic. John will be a familiar face to you. And how it feels, as Simon said, he's a trailblazer teacher. He's also an edge leader. He's also a father of three boys, married to Joe. But John, can you just tell us a little bit about how you put your trust in God first, how you first became a follower of Jesus?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I was brought up in a Christian family, which I'm very grateful for. But that didn't make me a Christian. I knew God was all-powerful, and he created the world, and I believed in the Bible, but that didn't itself make me a Christian. And one evening we went to church on a Sunday evening, I was about your age, and we had a visiting preacher, and he very, very clearly explained the gospel message. And he explained how Jesus came to the earth, and how he died on the cross for my sins, how all of the sin of the world was put upon Jesus' body, and how if I trusted in him and asked the Lord Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour, I would be saved. So that evening I went home with a real sense of all of the wrong things I'd ever done, real burden of my sin, and knelt down and wept as I asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me for my sin, as I said sorry for all the wrong things I had done, and asked him to be my Lord and Saviour. So that's how I became a Christian.
Now, I don't mean to be cheeky, John, but I'm guessing that's quite a while ago if you were a child. So in the years in between, Simon was just talking there about how we keep trusting in God, even when we feel weak and things seem pointless, and how hard it must have been for the Israelites to keep going. And I just wondered if you could share with us maybe a time in your life when you found it hard to just keep going for God, to keep trusting in his plans.
Yeah, we've all gone through difficult times. I think one particular one for me was when I was 14 and I moved from a very small private school to a massive comprehensive where everybody seemed to know each other because they'd been there for a few years. And I was a late developer. I looked about 11 when I was 14, but it's made up for it now. And it was really difficult, and experienced some bullying, which was really horrible. But I prayed about that with my mother. And it was great. We saw the Lord provide a circle of friends, particularly a couple of boys from the local church who also attended the school as well. We became really good friends. So I saw clearly answer to prayer in that difficult situation.
Okay, final question. Simon was talking about trusting in God's word and work, but he also talked about our response being worship. So I just wondered how you keep going for God, how you worship God in your day-to-day life with your family maybe, or in work, in the bank, or just at leisure. Just maybe an example or two of how you keep going for God.
Yeah, just one example really is that we keep a prayer diary, myself and Jacob and myself and Ben. And as we look back even over the last year, time and time again, we see prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer being answered. So, you know, we really know that Lord is caring, loving, and he wants us to bring all of our difficulties and difficult situations to him in prayer.
Brilliant. That must have been very similar for the Israelites, wasn't it? They looked back to help them keep going. The bit we missed out in Joshua, they built stones as a memorial of what God was going to do. They remembered how God had kept them. And that is one fantastic way, isn't it, of keeping going. Let's pray together. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Father God, we praise you that your word is true, that when you say it, it happens. Thank you that you are faithful to your promises. Thank you that your work will be accomplished. Thank you that you never make a mistake and will never let us down, even if we're feeling weak or wondering what you're up to. Father, we praise you that you are constant and we can place our trust in you. And so as we think about our response to that, we pray that we would live out a trust in you, that it wouldn't just be a belief that you are good, but it would show in our actions this week. Help us in school to be distinctive, to be different. Help us in the workplace to make choices that are glorifying to you. Help us with our family when we're often most prone to lose it, to just be able to bring you into the picture and put others first and rely on your strength to change us. Father, thank you that it is your power and your power alone that transforms us. And so as we hear about our worship being demanded, we commit ourselves to you and ask that you would take us and you would use us and you would mould us as your workmanship to do good things through Christ Jesus. We ask this in and through your Son's precious name. Amen.